Chapter 59. Charlie dodged the heavy staff swung at his head, but was a little slow in his reaction. The tip of the pole caught him above the ear, knocking him to the ground.
"Had this been an actual bout, you would be dead," Sir Berood said to the assembled gladiator trainees watching the demonstration. "And if you are dead..."
"You cannot achieve fame and glory," they replied in unison.
"Exactly."
Charlie rubbed his head as he climbed back to his feet and checked his fingers. No blood, he was pleased to note. He had bled often in the first months of training, but he healed exceptionally fast, which had caught Sir Berood's attention early on, making him a favorite sparring partner for full-speed demonstrations. As his reflexes improved and his training began to sink in on a muscle memory level, however, the bleeding occurred far less frequently.
"Do you know your error, Charlie?"
"Yes, Sir Berood. I was watching the staff and not your shoulders and hips. Your body will telegraph the strike more than the staff will."
"Very good. But there are exceptions to that rule, are there not?"
"Yes. You can feint and misdirect, using false movements to give the impression of one attack while actually launching another."
"So it is," the master said, pleased with his pupil.
There were students who had been training with Sir Berood for years, many of whom were actual gladiators now, returning to hone their skills further between bouts. Charlie, on the other hand, was as green as they came in the ways of their gladiatorial games. However, his completely blank slate gave Sir Berood something he had dreamed of, an untainted mind with which to work. The others had watched the bouts since childhood and knew the moves and spells from years of observation. Charlie, on the other hand, was an open book and quite willing to do as his master taught, even if it didn't entirely make sense to him. For that reason, as well as his already present skills in some rather unconventional hand-to-hand combat that he brought along from his home world, as well as his brief stint with the pirates, he had quickly become a favored pupil.
"Everyone, partner up and run the drills again. Charlie, come with me."
The students took up their weapons and set to their assigned task, while Charlie followed Sir Berood to the gardens. A chessboard sat as they'd left it, the game half completed. Charlie had crafted it for his master after discussing the Earth game often called the Game of Kings, one that taught strategy as well as patience. It was the one thing Charlie could best his master at, though he had suspicions that advantage would be very short-lived.
"Tell me, Charlie. You fight well, and you are more of a thinker than most who pass through my doors. So why are you still not living up to your potential?"
Charlie took a deep breath and studied the board, finally sliding his rook into position.
"I don't know, sir. I want to do well. Hell, I need to do well if I don't want Graham Fear to have me killed when I return. But I'm not supposed to be here. I have a life on a planet where slavery was abolished centuries ago. And now, here I am, someone's property with no free will."
"There is always free will, Charlie, even for those bound in servitude. It just presents itself in different ways than you expect."
He moved his bishop.
"Check."
"Maybe it does, but I'm just not getting it," he replied, sliding his queen and taking a knight.
"Use your circumstances to your advantage. Do you believe I was always as you see me now?"
"No, of course not. You were once a slave, just as we are."
"But the others, they've all prayed to the myth of the man rather than the reality. To them, I am this infallible guru. But you, Charlie, you realize the truth. Even a teacher has to rise from the mud and be formed into his final shape."
"Check."
"So you're saying I'm mud?
I feel so much better now," Charlie said with a wry grin.
"You have it in you. The potential. I can feel it. You just need to stop holding yourself back."
"I'm trying. It's just hard is all."
The black-haired Wampa studied him with his unsettling eyes.
"I believe you think too much. You need to think less and believe more."
"I'll try harder," he replied, moving a single pawn. "Oh, and that's checkmate."
Sir Berood studied the board, pleasantly surprised. For the great master, it was a pleasure rather than an annoyance to be defeated, for with every such loss,
he learned that much more. "I wish you to try something, Charlie," he said, reaching into his pocket, removing a very slender golden band. Charlie recognized it, a conus, though an incredibly slim one. "Put this on and come with me." He accepted the device and slid it over his wrist, a low tingle settling into his skin where it rested, then followed his teacher back to the training grounds. "Herzahan, come here and power yourself," Sir Berood called to one of his senior students.
What are we doing, Sir Berood?" Charlie asked.
"We are not doing anything. You are going to use your conus in live combat."
"Did you say live?"
"Do not worry. Your device is very weak, and Herzahan has excellent control of all gladiatorial weapons. You may be sore after, but no real harm will befall you." Charlie wasn't so sure about the whole idea, but he stepped into the training circle just the same. "You've got this. You know the words. Just remember what you learned." He had spent many hours memorizing the relatively short list of spells given to him many weeks prior, and felt confidence building inside of him as he was finally getting the hang of keeping them separate from the list of other words already rattling around in his head. With the conus on his wrist, he couldn't help but wonder if it wasn't a magical ability deep within him now, triggered by the device resting on his skin. The folly of a man from a world with no powers. "Prepare," Sir Berood ordered. Both men settled into their fighting stances. "Begin." "Nari Paw," Charlie shouted, hoping to quickly stun his opponent. His conus did nothing. "Nari Paw," he said again, to no avail. "Uzri Ho," Herzahan calmly said. The spell lifted Charlie into the air and flipped him once before unceremoniously dumping him to the ground. He jumped to his feet and rushed the more skilled opponent, hoping to catch him off guard. "Kikaram," the man said, sidestepping the attack and landing a gentle but firm magical slap on his face. "Ifangule," Charlie shouted, trying to bowl his opponent over. Again, nothing happened, but this time at least he felt something tingling in his wrist. Hopefully it was the conus trying to work. "Damn thing doesn't have any power," he griped silently, while Herzahan landed spell after spell on him, sending him tumbling to and fro. The fight continued, yet the novice human could not land a single blow on his opponent, while at the same time he took a beating. It was a relatively gentle beating, but a beating just the same. Over and over, Charlie was knocked to the ground, but each time he forced himself back to his feet. The spell commands just weren't coming to him, and all the hours of practice seemed for naught. Frustrated, Charlie threw out his hands. "Azkokta!" A dark energy began to pull from his chest and into his arms, building in strength as it moved toward his hands. Sir Berood leapt in front of him. "Fafangulvavia!" he shouted as he snatched the conus from Charlie's wrist. The feeling in his chest immediately dissipated, just in time for him to feel the blow of a full-force Kikaram send him flying. When he came to, he was still lying in the dirt, but all of the others had left. All but Sir Berood, who sat looking at him with a strange and frightening look. "Where did you learn that spell?" he finally said, a calm yet angry energy in his voice. Charlie knew, somehow, that his very life depended on the answer. "A Wampa, someone I saw in one of my first days as a slave. He was fighting a group of men. He said it then, and I remembered it. It was one of the first spell words I heard." "And do you know what this word is?" "A powerful blow." "No, it is far worse. This word is a death word, one of the forbidden, known only to a handful of the Wampa Galleon."
"The what?"
"They are an ancient order, men and women of my race who possess great power, but who also use it to cause harm to others. They are assassins of the highest degree. For you to have been allowed to hear this word and live was a mistake they should never have made." Charlie thought back to that day, to his saving the man's life just before the spell was cast.
"Are you going to kill me?" he finally asked.
Sir Berood thought long and hard, staring at him until the silence threatened to unsettle his mind. "No, Charlie, I will not. Not today, anyway." He rose and began walking away. Wait, will you still train me? A pause.
You still wish to learn? Barud asked.
Yes, please. Help me understand this. Why was the only spell I could even start to make work one of the worst imaginable? Am I cursed?
You show a willingness to learn from your mistakes.
A long silence hung as the Wampa Master considered his pupil.
I will continue to train you, Charlie, he finally said. And what you should really be asking is not why you're unable to tap into the lesser spells, but why you're able to even come close with one of the most potent ones, and using an underpowered Conus, no less. Now your training is over for today. Eat, build your energy.
Yes, Sir Barud.
Clear your head, Charlie. We renew this training tomorrow. Now go eat. Find me when you are done.